Something happened this week that I feel compelled to talk about. If I stand up here and I don't deal with this subject, who's going to? We had some terrorist activity in our country. People were killed and maimed, like in a war zone. And I know we're far removed from Boston, but we're part of the family of what you would call Americans. And anytime there's an attack on my country, I react in a stupid way. I get mad. I have this military background and I get angry. So I came home from work Monday. I ignore the news. I ignore the internet. I ignore everything. I have a phone that you have to do that to call somebody. I don't have data. If you send me a text, it's pure torture because I'm doing the numbers thing through the alphabet, you know, just to get you a short answer back. So don't text me. But anyway, I got home and Sandy told me what was going on, and I watched the news. And the next day, I went back to work, and we work fairly close to each other most of the time, building vans. And I was working across from this man, and he said, "Why would anyone want to do what those people did? What possessed them to do that?" And I thought, that's a really good question, and one that we ought to answer. Because there's a spiritual void that caused that. We're supposedly an advanced society, and yet people are actively threatening nuclear warfare. They're shooting children and creating these horrible things. Why? Does it make sense to you? It doesn't make sense to me either. Satan has his influence in this world. And I want to share with you what Jesus said about Satan, so that you understand who the enemy is. The enemy isn't Chechnya. The enemy is not Islam. The enemy is Satan. He was arguing with the Jewish leadership, and he was trying to teach them a lesson and to explain to him that he was from God. And they'd gone back and forth like four times. And you can see Jesus getting impatient in what he says here. It's in John chapter 10. Verses 42 through 44, he says, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire." And here's what he characterizes Satan. "He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." That's how Jesus characterized Satan, a murderer and a liar. And Satan teaches and leads people in paths on this earth towards earthly goals like fame and money and prestige and power and pride and ego and lust, and that list is pretty long. And all of us can be led around by him at different times and different ways. He knows what buttons to push. But any road that he leads a person down is going to end in death and hell. And God, on the other hand, is the author of life itself and the source of truth and everything good. And my message to you about this whole thing this morning is you have a responsibility. Each one of you has a responsibility in your life to choose the good, to choose the right, to kick the satanic influence out of your life. We can't control what other people do. We can control what we do. each one of us. And yeah, I don't like this stuff happening on my soil. I claim it. Now for your sermon. That was a freebie. But these things are going to happen. Bless you. And you just have to know the source. Several years ago, I was blessed to go on a spiritual retreat called the Walk to Emmaus. And I was at one of the most horrible lows of my life when I went. I had experienced quite a few. But there were so many things going on in my life and in the church that I was serving that I really doubted whether God wanted me to be a pulpit minister anymore at all. I was really at a low. I kept thinking, can't God use me some other way? In fact, I had backed out of the pulpit ministry, had put a student minister in the pulpit, and I was serving as an elder at the time. I was heartbroken. I had been beaten, not physically, but in every other way. And Satan was throwing everything at me that he could. Guilt, fear, doubts, everything. Everything. But that's where I was when I went on that retreat. And I was ready to go. I wanted to get away from everything. I thought I was going to get some rest. I'm going to tell you, Jim Kipas can snore. That's all I'm going to say. Good man. I love him dearly. But I wanted to hear a word from God. That's why I went. I went there and I wanted God to speak to me. And I expected that He would. And He didn't disappoint. I thought He was going to say something like, I want you to get off your butt and get back in the pulpit. That's what I thought He was going to say. Because that's my humanity coming out. You know, get tough or die, boy. I wanted to hear from God. Now, I don't remember what part or what day that it happened, because there were a lot of things going on. Like Butch was putting a hat that had hair sticking out the sides on it. It was so much fun. But God spoke to me. And it wasn't a voice. It was a convincing at a really deep spiritual level. I can't really describe that to you. I can't put that into words. It's more than words can do. But He spoke to me. And it was very clear. You know what He said? I love you. That's what He said. I love you. And that was the thing that I needed the most. It solved all the problems that I had, because I had the answers then. I knew then what I was supposed to do. I knelt before this wooden cross and I unloaded all my garbage. I just gave it all up. And He took that. And let me see His grace in a whole new way. The God of this universe loves me. That's an amazing thing. Why would He even care what does more love me? I'm the least likely candidate for God to love, but He does. If you knew me like I know me, you'd know that's true. But God loves me anyway. You know what's really amazing? He loves you. Also, every bit as much. Every bit. I assure you that He does. You may not have heard a word from Him like I did. You may have heard more. I don't know. But I'm not any more special of a human being than any one of you. Even though some people like to call me special ed. And I do build short buses at work. They're minivans, but I call them short buses. But what's really sad about this truth that I'm trying to teach you today is this. We've heard this a million times. God loves you. We've heard that a million times. How many of you have not heard that a million times? Well, okay, 966,000. We've heard that a lot, haven't we? It has lost its potency and its importance in our lives somehow. Why isn't that the most amazing statement any of us has ever heard? Why aren't we jumping up and down? We're sedate. Yeah, God loves me. Woo! Sorry, I'm mic'd up. Yeah, God loves me. That ought to fire you up. I told you you wouldn't go to sleep. What is it? What have we done? Why is that not so special that it just blows us out of the water? I have a few ideas. First of all, you would have to lose track of who God really is for that not to be the most amazing thing ever. Who is God? He is the one. Through the power of His Word, created all things out of nothing. That's who God is. And that's who loves you and me. That's pretty special. Secondly, we don't fully realize what that means and who that means that we are. Or we would be jumping up and down. I'm a child of God. Yeah, we would be going crazy. Why aren't we? We've lost our ability to see clearly in a spiritual sense. And I don't think that this lost ability is a new thing either. It must be human nature to lose touch with God and holiness and goodness. You know, all the right stuff. It must be human nature to lose touch with that. Why? Don't you have a hard time imagining all that stuff when you live in this flesh? This stuff that hurts, that gets sick, that dies, that aches. We live in this down and dirty stuff. How can we imagine the spiritual high as being real? The stuff that we relate to, we call reality. That's where we live. But it's not reality, guys. That's what you've got to realize. You've been lied to. Satan pulled the wool over your eyes. The reality is on the other side of this flesh. It's not right now. This is a practice run. This is just a practice run. If we have let any of the special nature of our relationship with the God of this universe become common, we need to recenter our focus because our identity is then in crisis. Do you agree? Yeah. We are sinking out of the spiritual and into the carnal state of mind and heart. It happens all the time. It's easy for us to believe the lie that this life is all there is. This isn't just a modern era problem either. This has been going on for centuries. If you look in your Bible, you'll see all sorts of exhortations. Come back. Recenter your focus. I'm going to show you some of that. Paul constantly taught various groups in the first century how to guard against this stuff. And in the Philippian letter, chapter 3, he was warning the new church not to jump backwards into Judaism again, because that was their earthly mindset in that day. Paul said, hey, I was the number one Jew. I was a Pharisee. I have reason to be proud. What are you proud of? And he said, I consider it rubbish. He wrote in Philippians 3, 10 through 16, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. What a statement. That is ignoring your physical life and choosing the spiritual side altogether. It is. And then he said more. More that I want you to get and take with you. He said, not that I have already obtained all this or have been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Here's your lesson. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. He's saying, don't go backwards. Paul painted this vivid image for us to grasp within his writing. One thing I do, he wrote, forget what is past and strain, work, labor, push, use effort to move towards a heavenly future. You got to work at it. Yeah, you got to work at it. That might surprise some of you, but you do. You have to work at meeting Him. Grace is free, but you got to reach out and get it. He said, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. Don't walk back into despair when you have the love of God in your grasp. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? He said to them, don't go back into your legalism and your law. You've got grace. What is your problem? Let's move towards this thing. The writer of Hebrews put it this way, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Because we have this bad habit of drifting away. How long was last week? It seemed like a month. I was up here a week ago, wasn't I? Was I? It seemed like a long time. What happened? I really look forward to this today. Don't drift away. You know why we have such trouble staying focused on our relationship with God? Now, I don't mean to minimize, because sometimes there are real spiritual problems and sometimes we have satanic attacks, but most of the time we're lax. We're the ones that are letting it happen. It's true. We become consumer-minded about our relationship with God. We stop straining towards the goal and wonder why we don't feel fulfilled anymore. You have to strain towards the goal. Doesn't mean that you can earn your salvation. Doesn't mean that you can earn anything with God. But you have to work towards a relationship with each other. What makes you think you don't have to work towards a relationship with the God of this universe? Anybody that's married knows you have to work towards that relationship. Better put forth some effort. It takes some time. God told me that He loved me. And that was perfect for me at the time. Perfect. He loved me when I felt the worst failures in my life. He loved me when I thought He doesn't have any use for me. You know? He did. He loved me when I locked myself in and everything seemed to hurt. But He took all the sting of that stuff off of me and He gave me this new type of joy. that I had never known before. I had heard the message. Yeah. I used to preach it. And then I heard it again in a whole different way. And you should have seen what a mess I was the next time I got in the pulpit. But it was kind of a cool mess. After that, I didn't care if I was crying. You were still going to hear it. Because God told me that He loved me. I had to learn that it wasn't about what I could or couldn't do. As a minister or as a man, God loved me anyway. I just really hadn't absorbed that whole truth yet. You ever get your Bible out and be studying, you know, a passage of Scripture, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I never saw that before. You ever do that? There's a lot of that going on in me. A lot of the time. Maybe I'm dense, I don't know. But I think it's more that things are being revealed to me a little bit at a time. Because it's a great discovery, and maybe then I can share that with you. I want to show you a very familiar scripture that you can probably recite without your Bible being open. How many of you watch football? Yeah. I've seen a Colts shirt somewhere. And you probably watched the NFL for years. And there's always some guy in the end zone. John 3:16, right? Are they wearing it out? I don't think you can wear that out. I want to show you something about John 3:16 and 17. What's it say? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Because we lose sight of the obvious pretty quickly, we're human beings, right? I want you to go through those two verses with me, and I want you to put yourself in there. Okay? Now you can do this out loud. I know it's church. You guys are pretty vocal. And it's okay. It's okay. Everywhere you see the word world. For God so loved Ed. There you go. That He gave His one and only Son. That whenever Ed believes in Him, he shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn Ed, but to save Ed through Him. You put yourself in there. Because that's the Bible's message to you. It's about you. And it's about how God loves you. Did you ever look at that verse like that? You're in there. You're on God's heart. That ought to be a special kind of thing. An awesome thing to think about. We look around, we look in the mirror. This morning I did the bad thing. I got Sandy's makeup mirror out. I saw wrinkles I didn't know were there. Because I don't wear my glasses when I'm that close to that stupid thing called a mirror. We look at ourselves and we think, golly, nobody could love me. But that's so wrong. We're hard on ourselves. Our Heavenly Father, not nearly that hard on us. When you put your name in that, John 3:16 and 17, you get the magnitude of what was written. It's strong, it's powerful. It's amazing. Don't let that be commonplace. It's freeing and wonderful to know that God loves me for no other reason than me. I'm His child. I'm a part of the world that Jesus came to save. God really loves me. Now, how can I keep that fact in focus all the time? Because if I can pull that off, my life is going to change. It has to. Doesn't it? That puts pressure on you. That's a good thing. It's my belief that we overschedule and overdo on every other part of our lives to the point that all that we have left to give to God for that relationship thing. I want you to think about this. Is our exhaustion and our tithe on Sunday? And that's wrong. We need not to overschedule our lives to that point. Number one, you're killing yourself off. I'm really guilty of this. Sometimes being too busy can hurt you in ways that you can't even imagine. I was talking with Martha Fritzlanger, and she said something profound. Ministers miss their Sabbath time with God. They do. I'm preaching this sermon to you, and I'm not even listening to it. It's not the same, man. No, it isn't the same. There's something special that happens. God ordained this a long time ago. And when you hear the Word of God, something special happens in you. And I'm not listening to me. I'm in His voice right now. It's different. And I'm missing my Sabbath time. I made sure I got some of that yesterday. When I was writing this stuff. Missing your Sabbath time can kill you off. Not being able to recognize that God loves you, and that's a wow thing, that can cause you to miss the heart of your Sabbath time. That can cause you to lose your spiritual fire. And you can't afford to do that. I can't afford to do that. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." We have been raised with Christ. This life is already over with. We've already exchanged the spiritual for the carnal when we accepted Christ's salvation. We're ignoring that fact too often. Stop it. Set aside special time between you and God. Not just on Sunday. Not just with your exhaustion. Special time. Time where you can appreciate who He is, how much He loves you, and who you are, because He's your Father. That's the important stuff in your life. The rest of it is all garbage. It's rubbish, Paul said. Rubbish. The stuff that we put ahead of God ought to make us terribly ashamed. And all of us do it. So we need to recenter our focus. Line ourselves back up. Get out of bed every day. If you have to put a sign in your refrigerator that says, "You're a child of God," smile about it. That's what you better do. I try to keep happiness at home. We always give each other a hard time, Sandy and I. I'm always saying something stupid so that I can laugh. And I tease her a lot of the time. She's been the best partner a guy could ever have. And I torment her about telling me to go to work in the morning. "Go to work, boy." I've gotten her to say it. life can be fun and rewarding, but you don't get that kind of relationship unless you work on it. And you don't have that kind of relationship with God unless you work on it. Remember Paul's words where he's talking about straining towards the goal. A little bit of effort can go a long way. Are you a special child? Is God your father? That means Jesus has called you his brother or sister. Yeah, that's special stuff. This is the first time that I've ever looked out and seen everybody staring back at me like they expect me to say something profound. No. I think you're a neat group, and I'm privileged to be standing in front of you today. And I want you to know that you're a special person. That you're worth it. Jesus said so. I don't have to know you personally. If you're his child, you're worth it. He died for you. He hung on that cross willingly for you. The God of this universe came and died for you. If I could teach the whole world one thing, if I could have the whole world as an audience, I wouldn't shy away. I wouldn't. You know what I'd try to teach them? I'd try to teach them this picture I have in my mind when I read the story of the prodigal son and he's coming home. There's that father running towards him, greeting him, loving on him. He's been the most awful son there ever was. And none of that stuff matters. Because that father loves that child. That's what I would love to teach the whole world. Maybe we'd have a few less pressure cooker bombs. A whole lot more. Don't lose sight of the fact that the God of this universe loves you and gave himself up for you. And don't lose sight of the fact that you need to reach out to him. He wants to know what you sound like in your voice. So when you're praying, talk to him. Talk to him about what's in here. Give him your heart, all your problems, all your garbage, and then you'll be free. Thank you for putting up with me again today. It's been an amazing privilege. Today I have to tell you something. Set your hearts and your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Because earthly things, they're going to rot. They're going to break. They're going to go away. Things above never will. Today, you might have a problem, an issue. You might need a prayer. You might need to be baptized. You might need to be a member of this church. You might need something. If you have a need, I'll bet there are a lot of people here that would jump at the chance to help you with that.